Good evening. Let's get to, well, thank you. Let's get ready for our study. If I kind of smile, or if I do that, I had an extraction today about 2:30, and it's all, the deadening is wearing off, and I have all those tinkling feelings going on all over my mouth. And it might make me talk more. I'm thrilled. But we have a visitor from across the street, Paul. And Paul, we're just thankful you. How'd you find us? Wow. All right. And he said, well, that's close enough to walk. I'll give it a shot. Oh, no. Bless your heart. Oh, we had another lady who was visiting from Taiwan. Her son lived maybe a couple miles that way. And she did the same thing, found it. And she had him bring her over. And every time she comes in, she comes and she listens on the internet. In fact, she teaches a teacher at a college, and she had me teach via Skype a couple of classes. And well, we're glad to have you, Paul. Hope to see you again. Let's see. Let's talk about prayer and the need of prayers. Thomas went home Tuesday, and Paul Thomas is a 14-year-old. Was diagnosed with blood cancer that went to leukemia, and he's gone through a lot of chemo. And we very touchy week. About 5 days, he was in ICU. So come out of that. We're thankful for that. He was healthy enough where he can go home for about 4 days, and then Monday goes back in and starts getting ready for the cell transplant and blood cell transplant and stem cells. And so we're just in prayer for this young man, very much so. But he's at home. Any current update? No? Doing good. And mom said he kind of walked around, made sure the house was still the same and looked the same and all that, his room. And then he just relaxed and adjusted to being at home. So that's wonderful. Let's continue to be in prayer. And our prayer, I thought it was that. And our prayer is that he'll just continually get stronger and stronger and be ready for the onslaught of a new thrust of the chemo and all the things that will be involved. So let's be in prayer. Yeah, the body will accept it. And we'll just kind of concentrate right in that prayer, getting healthy, and then kind of take any stage. Very good part about that was that the stem cell donor agreed to waiting a week. They were going to do it this just day before yesterday, Monday, but he said, okay, waiting a week, let Thomas get a week stronger. So let's be in prayer. Our friend Ron in Tucson, Arizona, who had the 8-hour surgery, the last we know is that he must have come out of it okay, but maybe some complications today. We're not really sure. So let's just be in prayer for him. That was a very unusual surgery that he went through. Lasted about 8 hours. And so please be in prayer for him. Let's see. Yes. And the family, the entire family. Any other prayer requests that we need to have? Okay. Everything fine. All right. All right. Let's get into prayer. Get ready for our study tonight. Let's open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John 16. The Gospel of John 16. It's our word of prayer. This is not a ritual prayer. This is a very important prayer. This prayer is time for you to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit. He is the teacher, not me. So just be sure you test yourself. Trust Him to open your eyes to things that are truthful. All right, let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in inspiring the writers of Scripture to write these things that you would have. And then, Father, we're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in preserving the writings. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in compiling the writings that you wanted in this book. And then for protecting that book all the way up to today. But Heavenly Father, if it was not for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we call upon right now, we'd be no better off with or without the Bible. And that is the illuminating ministry of the Spirit. To open our eyes to the truth, we'll see the things that you would have us to see, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we will have no class next Wednesday night. I will be in Tucson, Arizona, teaching. Please be in prayer. For the teaching of the Word in Tucson. And we will have services Sunday morning. Philip will be here, but not next Wednesday night. Now, verse 32 and 33, the last words Jesus Christ said to the disciples before his prayer in chapter 17, and then the arrest and the trials, the beatings, and the crucifixion. This is the last thing that he had to say to the disciples. Verse 32, behold, and this is the first time he's used that in the upper room discourse since John 13. Behold, an hour is coming, and we spent a long time on studying the hour. An hour is coming and has already come, and has come, for you to be scattered. So he's let them know they're going to be scattered. Each to his own, home is not there in the original, each to his own private place, hiding place if you please. Each to his own, and to leave me alone. In other words, when they run, they will leave him alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now, verse 33. These things, all the teaching in the upper room, since John 13:1. These things I have spoken to you, taught you. Don't be so intrigued with the miracles of Jesus Christ. You want to understand the teaching of Jesus Christ. Spoken to you in order that you may have peace. So having peace is dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit, because peace is a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also dependent upon knowledge of this text, doctrine of the Bible in your soul, that you may have peace. Now the phrase that we're dealing with, in the world you have tribulation. And before we resume tonight, I just want to remind you, you will have tribulation in the world. Not from the world. Doesn't say from the world. Preposition here is in the world. Just by being on this earth, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to. Now, what is important is that subjunctive mood. You may have peace. You may not, but it's yours to have. So, you may or may not have this peace. That's going to be up to you. Whether you walk in the Spirit by faith, grow in the Word, that's what the peace is dependent upon. But whether or not you have this peace, you will have tribulation. You will have it. Then, and this is where we left off, so we'll take up the imperative next time. And we've gotten started into the doctrine of tribulation. And for the sake of Paul, we'll just kind of go through where we left off. And we dealt with the word, the Greek word, thalipsis, and it means to squeeze, to crush, to break. This is what tribulation does. It is designed to squeeze or crush your witness of Christ, your faith. It's what it's designed to do. That's the word. It's a very graphic, descriptive word. By way of introduction, major primary point of everything. Don't try to figure out the source of the tribulation. Is it of God? Is it of Satan? Is it of the world? Is it this? Is it that? It doesn't matter. The solution is always going to be the same. If you're gunshot and you're shot, the doctor doesn't ask you if it's friendly fire or enemy fire or just your own stupidity, you shot yourself. It doesn't matter. And this includes tribulation from sin. The solution is the same. So don't get involved in trying to figure out the source. The whole concept is testing of your faith, that you walk by faith. Roman numeral 1, Old Testament background in the study of this word, and we took up a couple of sub-points. One, tribulation is a result of sin. the toil of man, the anguish, childbirth, all these things can be summarized as resulting from sin. Two, God often brings tribulation on man, nations, individuals, for their rebellion against Him. Three, tribulation brought by the adversary, Satan. Four, tribulation brought by the world due to its hatred of God, its hatred of the Messiah, and therefore the hatred if you are a witness of Jesus Christ. Major point two, New Testament and tribulation introduction. Set point one, the word is most often used to describe the sufferings of the people of God, believers in Jesus Christ. Sub point two, the sufferings of tribulation by the believer is part of sharing the suffering of Jesus Christ. It's very important to remember when you're in tribulation, the tribulations of Jesus Christ, and here we noted Philippians 3:10. Sub point three, remember, no matter how difficult or challenging your tribulation may be, they do not compare with the tribulation that will be experienced in the 7 years known as the 7 years of tribulation, which are really this final 7 years of the promised time to Israel. And there, anything that we experience today is not to even be compared, and we studied some of that in Revelation, but namely Matthew 24:21. Roman numeral 3. Tribulation due to decisions in life. Not from God, not from Satan, not from the world. Just decisions we make bring about a great deal of tribulation. A, sin. And we spent a little time talking about that. And then we took up some results of that. One, suffering from the rejection of authority. A great deal of suffering comes when, as generally starts as a child, rejection of authority. And then two, suffering from violation of the law, criminal activity. Three, suffering from immorality. Four, suffering from divine discipline, from the love of God. But please remember, it doesn't matter the source. Solution's the same. Whether it's sin or the world or Satan, doesn't matter. The test to you is will you walk by faith? Will you continue to trust Him? And then B, poor decisions in regard to health. Drinking, drugs, overeating, all these type of problems, and we talked about that. C, poor decisions in regard to romance, love, and marriage. Not talking about sin here. Just some people just fall in love with people, and it's just turmoil. It is tribulation. Boom, boom, boom. And that's just it. So that's another one. Roman numeral 4, tribulation in the world. War, weather disasters, diseases, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, volcanoes, all of this stuff. Three, national disasters, economic depression, dictatorship, military police state, unfair judicial system. Four, circumstances of life, orphans and widows, James 1:27. Then Roman numeral 5, from people, which often involve other believers. Sin of gossip, ostracism, disapproval, persecution, violence, crime, part of life. Since man has a sin nature, there is a great deal of tribulation that comes from one another. Roman numeral 6, this is very important. Suffering from failure of walking, living by faith. Believers suffer a great deal of tribulation, failure of walking by faith. This is one of the primary sources a believer suffers, tribulation, failure to trust God, failure to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, failure to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Multitude of believers suffer sad, stress, anxiety, and depression due to failure of keeping their mind stayed on Him. Roman numeral 7, understanding tribulations. Understanding tribulations. Subpoint 1, Gospel of John 16:33, Jesus Christ tells us, prophesied, you will have tribulation. Understanding this gives inner peace, inner understanding of what's going on. 2, tribulation from the world or Satan is always designed to break down one's faith. Walking by faith, trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Holy Spirit. Again, it doesn't matter the source. The issue is, what are you going to do about it? 3, tribulation is designed to crush the spirit of man, crush your faith, crush your will to go on growing in the Word of God and being a witness of Jesus Christ. 4, it is the ultimate goal to eliminate any witnessing of Jesus Christ in the world. Get rid of all who witness for Him. Darken that area of the world. This is the whole objective. So every time a believer does not give in, does not stop being a witness for Christ, Satan loses. That believer may suffer, but Satan loses. And the light continues to shine in that area. Subpoint 5, one of the great issues of the tribulations is perseverance. Perseverance. We saw this in the study of Job. Roman numeral 7, and this is where we left off last Tuesday night. That's later on down in here, but let's get going. 1. Point 8, biblical study of tribulation in the New Testament. 1. Tribulation is not able to separate us from the love of God, Romans 8:35. Doesn't matter the source, it's not able to separate us from the love of God. Tribulation from sin cannot separate you from the love of God. Tribulation from the world, from Satan, from God, cannot separate you from the love of God. 2, the challenge for every believer is to persevere in tribulation, Romans 12:10-13. 3, if you do not have a solid foundation in doctrine and Bible doctrine and rooted in the love of God, you will not persevere very long in tribulation, very well pointed out in Matthew 13:20-21. 4, and this is where we left off, we are promised tribulation from the hatred of the world, from the beginning of the church age, John, Gospel of John 15 and 16, compared with Matthew 24:8-9, where Jesus Christ emphasizes the hatred and suffering from the world. Acts 14:22, this is from the very beginning. And then we noted 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Then we noted 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Then we noted Hebrews 10:23-39. And we ended with looking at the church of Smyrna in Revelation 2:9-19. They were the most suffering. They were one of the two churches that were doing it right, and they were suffering horribly for it. All right, that brings us to point 5. Tribulations can be extremely severe. I didn't hear any amens. Okay. Maybe y'all don't know that yet. But tribulations can be extremely severe. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's read together verses 8 and 9. We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, fellow believer, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. Beyond our strength. So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, we spend time on raising the dead at the Resurrection Sunday specials, but a lot of people have this idea to not test you beyond what you're able. So I'm not talking about testing. It's talking about tribulation. It's talking about hurting. Suffering. And note the way that you were talking about it here. This is a very important passage in dealing with tribulation. And that is that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. So when it's beyond your strength, That's when you have to rely completely and totally on the power of God, that is the Holy Spirit. Trusting the Holy Spirit. So that we despaired even of life. I may die here. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. So, here is where and when you learn if you truly trust Him. Not how much faith do you have. It's not a matter of more faith. We've studied this so many times. God isn't looking for more faith. Faith is not a muscle to be developed. He saved you with a grain of mustard seed of faith. He saved you eternally with a grain of mustard seed of faith. With a grain of mustard seed of faith, you can say to a mountain, to the sea. God is never looking for more faith. Anytime somebody tells you you need more of something, it's works. It's not a matter of more faith. It's a matter of how easy is it or how difficult is it for you just to trust Him in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of suffering. So, point six. If you're suffering for the glory of Jesus Christ, because of your walk with the Lord, because of your witness of Christ, it is light. Light in weight when compared with eternity. See, I have this one following the one where he was in suffering tribulation to the point of death. Now, point six, if you're suffering for the glory of Christ because of your walk and your witness of Christ, it's going to be light when compared to eternity. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. You're in 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. And we want to look at verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. There's no comparison with the tribulation, no matter if it's just a day or two of real heaviness, or it just goes on and on and on and doesn't seem to let up. It's very light when compared to the eternal glory we have in Christ. So, point seven, God uses tribulation to move some people. To move some people, diaspora. Some people just, He needs to move you. So let's look at Acts 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts 11, verse 19. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose. Now I want to stop here just a moment. What have we just seen in verse 32? The hour is coming and now is when you will be scattered, right? You'll be scattered. The disciples are going to go in all kinds of directions. Now there's tradition of where a lot of them went, not fact, just tradition of where they went. But it was time to be scattered. Their Savior has come, died, rose again, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God. It's time to move on in the church. And they had to move out. So this is including these men. So let's take a look, verse 19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. Now, all of this has changed when we get into the Gentiles and all. But the point I want you to see here is they scattered because of tribulation. Point eight. I got to be careful with point eight. I'm teaching the Word of God. This is not any kind of personal testimony. It's okay. I got to be careful here. I just got married 2 years ago, Paul, after 67 years. So, point eight. This one serves This one serves as a warning. Tribulation in marriage. Tribulation in marriage. 1 Corinthians 7:28. 1 Corinthians 7:28. 1 Corinthians 7:21 to 28. But if you should marry, you have not sinned, that's okay. And if a virgin should marry, she has not sinned, yet such will have tribulation in life. And I'm trying to spare you. So, just getting married has its tribulation. So, it's not from God, and not the world, not Satan. It's just the nature of the two sin natures coming together. My son said tonight, we were talking, we got 5 grandchildren for several days, and he said, we were talking about it, and he said, now, Paul said it's wise not to get married and have children and all of that. I said, that's right, that's what Paul said. He said, you know, I used to think he was gay, but now I think he was wise. So, just that's, I have to put it there. And it is most rare to find a marriage where there's not been tribulation. And it's got to be a past tense. Because you can't say, well, for 5 years we haven't had any. Well, you may have 20 more years to go of tribulation. So, at the end, it's all over. Very few have not had tribulation. And people, there's the perseverance. It's a good place to see the perseverance we're talking about. You don't cop out and get a divorce. I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. You're out of here. You don't do that. It's the perseverance. So continue. If you've acknowledged that God designed and brought you together, knowing there would be tribulation, then He's designed for you to stay. All right. Roman numeral 9. And I guess this really gets to the heart of our study added with Romans chapter 5. And James chapter 1. Rejoicing in tribulation. Rejoicing in tribulation. And one another. Point one. God comforts the believer in tribulation. God comforts the believer in tribulation. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. And let's read verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a ton of doctrine right there. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who comforts, this is God now, God the Father, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. So God comforts in tribulation. Now the question arises, how does God comfort in tribulation? How does He do that? One, by His Spirit. Two, by His Word. The two sources. By His Spirit, and by His Word. Point two. We are to encourage other believers who are in tribulation. Do you understand encourage? It doesn't mean judge. Well, this is happening to you because you did this and this and this. That's not comforting. It's not encouraging. That's judging. We're not here to judge one another. It's amazing how many times the Bible says, judge not, believers like to judge. How many times he says, love one another as I've loved you, and that's not done. So point two, we are to encourage one another, other believers, who are in tribulation. Let's look at Acts 14. Acts chapter 14. This is how we're to deal with one another, people. Verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, of the believers, encouraging them to continue in the faith, walking by faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. See, you combine this with John 16:33, you will have tribulation. Christ has already told us that. This is not you may. It's not a subjunctive mood. You may have tribulation. No, you will have tribulation. You may have peace. So we're to encourage one another in tribulation. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Start reading in verse 2. Well, it's the beginning of the sentence. Let's just start with verse 1. My goodness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. People, faith is the battle. So that no man may disturb, though men may be disturbed by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we have been destined for these afflictions. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, whether you were continuing to walk by faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor should be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us good news of your faith and love, spiritual love, fruit of the Spirit, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as also we long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. For what thanks we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, believers, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. And what did we see here? This doesn't mean little faith grew. Remember it. What this means is you trust Him in more areas of your life. It's enlarged in more areas of your life. So one of the problems with believers judging other believers, well, he's just a hypocrite. He thinks he walks by faith here and here and here, but boy, I know this area of his life. I know this area of his life. And see, because he's not really good there, all these other areas are false and hypocritical. No, they're not. No, they're not. Not necessarily. He's not learned to walk by faith here. Not learned to walk by faith in that one area. Since it's common knowledge, C.I. Scofield, the Scofield Bible, had a drinking problem. He battled it throughout his life. till he learned, probably from Lewis Berry Chafer, walking by faith and trusting in the Spirit. Some people can trust the Lord, walk by faith in all areas except in money. They just, boy, they're not going to give anybody anything. Can't trust the Lord to take care of your needs, therefore I can't give to you. Some people, it's trusting their husband, trusting their wife. We all have these areas. But people, if we take our life and gave our life five areas, or there are 100 areas, but five, and to enlarge your faith is, you now trust him here, 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 and now where you didn't trust him, you now trust him there. And you'll see the love of God in that area. Where yesterday you didn't trust him, today you trust him in that area. And because you trust him in that area, now let's see what happens. Because you trust him in that area. Well, verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 1, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. Now what? And the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Now you're talking with the different Greek words. Now you're talking greater in its magnitude, greater in its strength, its power. See, I like to use the example, and I'll make it real quick because most of you have heard it. One winter, guy knocks on your door. I'm cold and I'm hungry. Can you just give me something to eat? Sir, God has blessed me with one half can of Campbell's soup. And that's all I got, otherwise I would. Sorry. So he walks away. Did he see the love of God there? Did he see the love of Christ? No. Okay. Now, in the next 12 months, the guy's learned to trust the Lord in all areas of his life. So that same guy comes back to the door. Knocks on the door. Winter night. Sir, I'm hungry and cold. Do you have anything for me to eat? I have one half can of Campbell's soup. Come on in, you're welcome to it. He walks away. Did he see the love of Christ? Yes. What's the difference? The guy learned to trust the Lord in all areas of his life. His faith was enlarged. Not enlarged his faith, but enlarged in all areas of his life. See, God wants all areas of our life. He doesn't want you just to trust him in this area, in this area, in this area. He wants every area of your life. You can't say, well, God, I trust you with all these areas, but let me have my thumb. Let me have one area that's just me. No, I want all of it. I want all of you. And when he does, the more that we trust him in areas of our life, the greater the love of Christ is reflected in our lives. All right? Subpoint 3. Joy that can be yours in tribulation. Joy that can be yours in tribulation by thinking of others. Now we saw this in 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul said, just hearing about your great faith causes us strength. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 8 now. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. In other words, they're suffering great tribulation here, but they still gave to support the believers in Jerusalem. Point 4. We should help others who are in tribulation. We should help others who are in tribulation, and I'll add, especially in the spreading of the gospel. We should help all believers, but especially in the spreading of the gospel. Philippians chapter 4. Let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, 14 and 15. Philippians 4, 14 and 15. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. So we're to help other believers who are in tribulation, especially in regard to the gospel, but even without that part being there. Point five, Paul, parentheses, any pastor, teacher, and missionary, often suffer tribulation. But one of the comforts and encouragements is hearing that those that they minister are walking by faith. And we've already seen this in 1 Thessalonians 3:7. Point six. What do you desire for people to say about you? What do you desire for people to say about you? I'm having a lot of fun in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where all that Paul can say about these scoundrel believers in Corinth, all the wonderful things God has done for them. You are enriched in every spiritual gift. You are chosen. You have this, you have this in Christ. On all the things, not one word about what they're doing. In Thessalonica, your faith, your spiritual love for one another. In Philippians, talks about them, they give, all these things. All he can say in chapter 1 about the Corinthians, boy, y'all have everything. Now, and then he's going to let them know how they're not using it. But what do you want people to say about you? Look at 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, one more time. Chapter 4, or chapter 1, excuse me. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Look what he has to say about these people. Verse 4. Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches. What do we have to say about you, the churches of God? Your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions, that's the tribulation, and afflictions, with which you endure. Continue walking by faith. People, I think this is the most wonderful thing that can be said. In your witness of Christ, you endure tribulation and did not let up on your witness in of Christ. In America, we've not suffered that much being a Christian. Places all over the world today, you're killed. You're killed. And I went to Monrovia, Africa. Monrovia, Liberia, Africa. We just heard and saw countless villages that they were just cut up because they were Christians. Killed, slaughtered. This is going on all over the world. Now, I think it's happening in America where more and more Christians are being ostracized. And I think the day is coming. We might see some tribulation in our own country where you mention the name Jesus Christ. You mention salvation. You mention these things of the Bible, and you're going to be ostracized. It's not allowed in a lot of places to mention His name. Okay, that brings us to Roman numeral 10. Exalting in tribulation. Why and how? Romans 5:3, we exalt in tribulation. James 1:3 or 4, count it joy. All right? We are exhorted many times to exalt in our tribulations. Romans 5:3, James 1:2 and 3, Romans 12:12. In fact, let's look at Romans 12:12. We've looked at the James 1, we've looked at Romans 5. We have not looked at Romans chapter 12. Let's see what Romans 12:12 says. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Okay, how are we going to do this? What does it mean? Count it joy. Can I go to Rick and Terry, Thomas's parents? Count this joy, brother. Count this joy. Exalt in this tribulation. It's pretty cruel. as we understand what's going on. So let's see if we can figure it out. Point one, let the Holy Spirit show us. Point one, to exalt in tribulations requires two major things going on in your life. If you want to exalt in tribulation, count it joy, there are two things that must be going on in your life. One, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Strengthened in power of the Holy Spirit. Or as Galatians, Paul says in Galatians, walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. That's the first thing. It's required. So what's the issue there? You've got to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Very few people know how to be filled with the Spirit. A lot of preachers today, be filled with the Spirit, talk about maybe the fruit of the Spirit. They don't tell you how. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it some charismatic type thing, some emotional experience? No. Colossians 2, as you've received Him, walk. Received Him by faith, we walk by faith. Continue to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing that's required. Galatians 5:22, joy, peace, are the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. So there is the whole understanding of the having the filling of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we need to look at 1 Thessalonians 1:6. We have not looked at it. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word, that's the gospel, and then doctrine, teaching, in much tribulation, with joy of the Holy Spirit. So people, you're not going to be able to count it joy. You're not going to be able to exalt in it, first and foremost, if you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. Second thing that's a requirement, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, being rooted and grounded in spiritual love. Ephesians chapter 3. So it's going to take two things. Through count of joy, exalt in it, in tribulation. One is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And secondly, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, being rooted and grounded in the love of spiritual love of Jesus Christ. All right, point two. Exalting in tribulation demands walking by faith. Walking by faith. Faith sees what is not seen with the naked eye. If all we see is our tribulation, we're in real trouble. If all you can focus on are all the bad things that are going on, but if we walk by faith, faith sees the invisible. We see what is going on in the world around us. We see why the tribulation. We may not understand why the tribulation, but we understand the invisible part. We understand the invisible warfare, to quote Donald Barnhouse. Invisible warfare. We do see that. Faith empowers us. Faith causes us to focus on things that are invisible, like keeping our mind stayed on Him. So to exalt in tribulation demands walking by faith, because in faith you see what is not seen with the eye. Because all we can see is that tribulation we're in. If all Rick and Terry see is their 14-year-old son going through all of this horrible things, they're not going to see the invisible warfare, not going to be able to exalt in this. They're going to miss out on some wonderful opportunity here. And they are, by the way. They are walking by faith. I talk with them. But I'm just talking to you here on the internet, wherever, that if you're not walking by faith, all you'll be able to see is that tribulation. Woe is me. Why is this all happening to me? Me, me. It doesn't happen to them, and they're no good scoundrels. And I know them, and they sinners. And I know that. But it's me that's going through all of this. Why me? That's all you're going to be able to do. We've walked by faith. I don't understand all those things, Father. But I see your power. I see the spiritual warfare. Angels are watching you, people. Remember that. There's spiritual warfare, invisible warfare. Angels are watching every believer, especially in tribulation. Point three. Since tribulation by definition hurts, why should we exalt in tribulation? Why should we count it joy? Now, I'm going to start this little survey we're going to go through here with a silly example. And I know it's a very base example. But if you've ever played football, you know you're going to get hurt. You just know it. You're going to get beat up and everything. I wasn't even that good. I had a guy with three teeth stuck in the back of my skull. Let me back in, coach. Just put a patch on it and let me back in. Why would you do that? That hurts. So I'm using a silly example to show you that we do it anyway in the flesh. If we understand what's going on, put me in. All right, so my arm's broken. I can use this arm. Put me in, coach. Had a brain concussion. I know where we are. We're in Alaska, but put me in. See? Why would we do that? It hurts. Okay? Let's look at it now. Without understanding, let's look at it spiritually. Please look at John 16. Gospel of John 16 that we've already studied. Why would we count it joy in the midst of tribulation? You'll remember this as soon as we cover it. Look at verse 21. Whenever a woman is in travail, this is the Greek tikto, means to bear, to bring forth. Okay? She has sorrow. The word is pain. Not sorry, it's pain, grief, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth, but when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more. For joy that a child has been born into the world. The very thing that caused the woman her sorrow, her grief, and anguish is the very thing that brings her joy. Go back to my base example. The very thing that causes that little guy, or grown man, but that guy in college, high school, peewee football, the same that caused him the hurt and the pain and the bleeding, brought him the joy. I was in the game. I was in there. The very thing that caused him the pain brought him the joy. Same thing that brought the woman the pain brings her joy. Doesn't even think about it. So here's a perfect example. How is it possible to consider a tribulation and pain and all this joy? Here's an example. Her hour has come. All right. Now you're in the tribulation for Christ. Your hour has come to suffer for the glory of Christ, people. If you're enduring this tribulation, your hour. See, his hour had come, tribulation of the cross. The woman's hour has come, giving birth, joy. Christ's hour has come, the cross, resurrection, joy. your hour has come to suffer for the glory of Christ. So in your hour, you'll suffer grief, tribulation, because your hour has come in the spiritual warfare. You give birth to the glory of Jesus Christ where it was not before. It could not have been where you are, right there, at that time. And you give glory to Jesus Christ right there where it was not. Hospital room at the Children's Hospital, Medical City, in a room on the sixth floor, glory of Christ, where it was not before. Because they continued to count it joy and continue to thank God, go to God, understand God. That's the joy of it, people. I hope this is sinking in. This is a difficult concept. And I know it is. And I just prayed to Lord, when we got down to this major point, how can I count this joy? And my favorite example, because I'm not a woman having gone through childbirth, is playing football and get all beat up and hurt and all that kind of stuff. And you just love it. Let me back in. Bandage me up. You know, put the wrap it up and let me back in there. Are you crazy? A woman giving childbirth. Okay, one time, but why do it again? And then again? And then again? Are you really crazy? See? Are you lacking for joy that much? See? And now we put it in the spiritual realm. We get to glorify Christ where Christ is not glorified before. Because in the midst of our tribulation, we glorify Him. So this becomes very important. It's your opportunity to give joy. Well, we'll resume it here 2 weeks from tonight. At this point, I thought we'd get through with this tonight, but we didn't. I must have got into preaching instead of teaching. And we'll get back into this. I request your prayers for myself in opening the Word of God in Tucson. And for Philip, who will be teaching here, please be in prayer for him. And please try to come, give him support, give him encouragement, and in his teaching of the Word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've seen a lot of things tonight. I pray that your Spirit will take the things that we've seen, have them be solidified in our souls, where we know them and believe them and then live them in our lives to the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.